You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hear Bob Mueller talk. I didn't realize it was 8:05. I look up, I was like, oh, last time I looked, it was 7:50. It happens. Big news out of D.C. Bob Mueller's going to make a statement from the Justice Department. So the world is a Twitter. No pun intended. Hope spring eternal, right? So, the investigation that will never die. Good Wednesday morning to you. Yeah, hump day already. Boom. On discipline today? Yeah. Now, I'm going to warn you that I know you all are spoiled and you've gotten so used to Skype audio, which is pretty good audio, that this cell phone audio, it's not as good. So, welcome on a Wednesday, you're warned. Just so you know, you've been officially warned. And, Lieutenant General Dennis Halick, H-J-E-L-I-K, from the Midwest, he'll join us in the second hour. And you'll get a chance to hear him. So, battlefield study yesterday with, if you missed that, come on, man, what's going on? Get your life together. So what we'll do is we'll listen to Bob Mueller, former Marine. That's right. So the man at the center of all this, of his investigation. And so he's, for whatever reason, he's making a statement. People attach significance that he's making it at the Justice Department, so they do not believe he will assail the president. Also, they don't believe that is Mueller style. He's a company man, which is why he's been around D.C. Kind of like Barr is Bill Barr, the Attorney General. He is a he's also kind of a company man. At the end of the day, they believe in the law, and they've had long, distinguished careers in the law. And, those of us who are old enough, you know, we remember Bill Barr from Watergate. Yeah. If you think this is bad, my oldest daughter, Catherine, said, I think we're the laughing stock of the world. I mean, come on, man. You don't even know what a laughing stock is, man. Should have been around for Watergate. That was a laughingstock. The Associated Press is reporting Special Counsel Robert Mueller says he's leaving the Justice Department and he's concluded his Russia probe and he's going back to private life. So, anyhow, I'll get you that audio here. And you can hear it for yourself in case you're at work and you don't have access to it. So Mueller has made a statement, and so you'll hear that as soon as I can tee it up for you. And a former Marine, I saw a picture of him as second lieutenant, and in his alphas. So good-looking, young, motivated guy, Vietnam veteran. And but all Washington is a Twitter. And because Bob Mueller's going to speak today, and everybody hopes that he'll say what they want him to say. And that normally means with Mueller, he's going to disappoint everybody. So I will get you that audio in a matter of seconds here. All right, so he walks out of the door. He walks up to the podium.
Bob Mueller.
And,
good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. 2 years ago, the acting attorney general asked me to serve as special counsel, and he created the special counsel's office. The appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Now, I have not spoken publicly during our investigation. I'm speaking out today because our investigation is complete. The Attorney General has made the report on our investigation largely public. We are formally closing the special counsel's office, and as well, I'm resigning from the Department of Justice to return to private life. I'll make a few remarks about the results of our work. But beyond these few remarks, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. Let me begin where the appointment order begins, and that is interference in the 2016 presidential election. As alleged by the grand jury in an indictment, Russian intelligence officers, who were part of the Russian military, launched a concerted attack on our political system. The indictment alleges that they used sophisticated cyber techniques to hack into computers and networks used by the Clinton campaign. They stole private information and then released that information through fake online identities and through the organization WikiLeaks. The releases were designed and timed to interfere with our election and to damage a presidential candidate. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. These indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or the innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system. They needed to be investigated and understood, and that is among the reasons why the Department of Justice established our office. That is also a reason we investigated efforts to obstruct the investigation. The matters we investigated were of paramount importance. It was critical for us to obtain full and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of the government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider. The department's written opinion explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president, because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from them, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is the office's final position, and we will not comment on any other conclusions or hypotheticals about the president. We conducted an independent criminal investigation and reported the results to the Attorney General, as required by department regulations. The Attorney General then concluded that it was appropriate to provide our report to Congress and to the American people. At one point in time, I requested that certain portions of the report be released. The Attorney General preferred to make the entire report public all at once, and we appreciate that the Attorney General made the report largely public, and I certainly do not question the Attorney General's good faith in that decision. Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner. I am making that decision myself. No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself. And the report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress. In addition, access to our underlying work product is being decided in a process that does not involve our office. So beyond what I've said here today and what is contained in our written work, I do not believe it is appropriate for me to speak further about the investigation or to comment on the actions of the Justice Department or Congress. and it's for that reason I will not be taking questions today as well. Now, before I step away, I want to thank the attorneys, the FBI agents, the analysts, the professional staff who helped us conduct this investigation in a fair and independent manner. These individuals who spent nearly 2 years with the special counsel's office were of the highest integrity. And I will close by reiterating the central allegation of our indictments that there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. And that allegation deserves the attention of every American. Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
There you have it, Robert Mueller, in his own words. And he did not take any questions. He left the podium right after that, said he was leaving the Department of Justice and that his report spoke for itself, that in any public appearance, he would make no comment beyond the report, which he said speaks for him. So, interesting day in Washington, D.C., and there's people all over that are slamming fists on tables. There's other people that are probably pretty excited about what he just said, that the report speaks for itself. The president, no doubt, will be firing up the Twitter machine, and he will take those comments and he will say, I've been completely vindicated by Bob Mueller. And what's amazing, though, is the Washington, this is, you know, the Washington Post reportedly, I heard this in the last hour, said that, you know, Mueller was going to make a substantial statement. You know, and so you watch some of the reporting and you're like, where does this come from? And the Washington Post is one of the leading newspapers in the country. And it's just shit. And it's just, it's amazing to watch, right, media that can't do their job professionally if they tried to. Yeah, I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. Report? No, that's not where it's at. It's speculate, get the story first, get the most clicks, be the first person. That truth, not so much. So it's important. So, interesting morning today here. Just to watch as this thing, the investigation that will not die, is attempt, right? Mueller attempts to, I won't say lay it to rest, but he says, hey, the report speaks for itself. And whether the president can be indicted or not, or committed an indictable offense, what Mueller and his team concluded was, which might be one of the most interesting parts of the whole thing, we could not indict a sitting president. And so, therefore, we made no determination. So, there you have it, Bob Mueller speaks. So, Bob Mueller sucking the air out of the room today. And then John Bolton, who, while I appreciate his conservative perspective, John Bolton's sucking the air out of the room, too. And I get the heebie-jeebies. While I appreciate his conservative opinion, you know, he does not have a great track record for being right. So we need other adults in the room to make sure that Bolton isn't living up to his histories and traditions by getting it wrong again. So, you know, just because he's conservative doesn't mean he's right all the time. And that's an important distinction that we should all understand. So but again, the confrontation with Iran, how much longer do we avoid that? Right? I mean, when the United States squared up with North Korea, I think that issue gets better, got better, right? But at some point, you have to look at countries like this and say, we're not doing that. And it would help if the free world did it. But for whatever reason, you know, everybody else operates in their own little world and their own little interest. And, oh, that might harm this contract, or we'd like to do this kind of business. And they've told us if we do this, they'll cancel that, which is going to harm us domestically. It's going to harm us economically. And we can't have that. We can't have that. So John Bolton, we'll talk about that a little bit. But Iran, clearly, I mean, how long does the world stand by and allow Iran to, by proxy and by their own forces, to destabilize a region and then just not make them pay for it? Like, you could do that. It's okay. Yeah. That you don't promote stability, right? What you do is you promote instability. And that, how long are we going to do that? How long are we going to play the emperor's new clothes? Nothing to see here. Oh, yeah, that happened in Syria. Well, it's their forces. At some point, they have to pay, right? 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 Wrong. So, interesting stuff going on today. Interesting stuff going on. So, you might want to stay away from your TV unless you like analysis. After analysis of the Mueller investigation, Bob Mueller's comments, and all things related to Bob Mueller. So, good morning to you. Happy hump day to you. On discipline at the top of the hour. Let me repeat a warning. You've got spoiled. That's right. I know you have. You've gotten spoiled because of the high quality of Skype audio that you normally hear. Halick is not a Skype guy, which is odd because he's a grandpa. Normally, grandfathers have Skype. He did not. So we did cell phone, and I'm not, it's, the audio is not the best. But, it's important you hear his perspective, especially discipline. Right? And honestly, you know what's interesting is that, you know, and the need to sit down and talk about it, right? Not just, you know, not just bitch about it, but you need to sit down and have conversations about it. You need to bring in guys like Halick, guys like Ben Riper, guys like Madison, you know, Sergeant Majors and retirement to talk about, hey, here's why we do it this way, boys. Here's why we do it this way, girls. Here's why we do it this way, everybody else. I don't really know who everybody else is, but I thought I'd throw that in there. So you're going to hear him today talking about leadership. And I'll give you a little, we talk about it in the interview, but Halick is one of the, if I told you there was two people that were responsible, well, I'd have to, it'd be more than two. Right? It would be responsible for All Marine Radio, responsible for the ultimately post-traumatic winning. They would be Dave Furness and Paul Kennedy, who emailed me to come back on active duty. Then Halick, the board says, no, don't bring him on, blah, 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 blah. Because evidently, you'll hear him explain it, but they wanted to bring guys back on who they could bring back on and then let go and who wouldn't be near retirement. But according to him. So anyway, so they call me and tell me I'm not coming back up on active duty. He overrules the board and brings me back on after a conversation with Bob Mueller, the current commandant. Yeah, so Halick, right, his decision is, and he wrote me a note. I'd never met him, didn't know him. A note I still have today, when I got reappointed. So Halick and then Bob Nielsen. So there's probably four people I would say that are fundamentally responsible for me being here. And you listening today. And all the good things that have happened with All Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning. So how cool is that? So you'll hear him probably 35 minutes. So you'll hear that today. So, good morning to you. We have to make the day official. And so, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. see. Today, I guess this would be dedicated to Bob Mueller, Lieutenant, United States Marine Corps. Good luck leaving. Good luck leaving public service again, Bob. Hope you land on your feet. I don't know that money's a real issue for you at this phase of your life, but if it is, give us a call. We can point you in the right direction, people that might be able to help you. So, dedicated to Bob Mueller and Marine Lieutenant, who's done good things in his life. Some people might agree with it. Some people might not. But he has led a distinguished life. You don't get to be where he is without doing quality work for decades. So congratulations to him as he exits stage left. You never know. You might see him again. But his message today was pretty blunt. My report speaks for itself. We could not indict the President of the United States. In any testimony that I would give, the testimony that I would give would not amplify beyond what is in the report. Our research, our opinions are in the report. So, well, that'll be disappointing to a lot of people and be very, very uplifting for others. So this is dedicated to him for his distinguished career as a lieutenant in the Marine Corps and also as a member of the Justice Department, the FBI, after many, many, many decades.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
On a Wednesday morning here on the west coast of the United States, where the weather's gotten a little bit warmer. I know everybody else is concerned about it. That's why I'm telling you. All right. Jeez, I hope the weather's warmer in Southern California so Mac will stop whining about it. Yeah. I mean, I know you care. In spite of the way you act, I know you care. Don't try to fight it. Yeah. All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland here on a Wednesday. Junior Walker in there, All-Star. All right, currently it is partly cloudy and 88 in Quantico, which means it's icky because it'll be humid there, you know. At Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, it is sunny and 93. I would think it's probably kind of gooey down there, too, in 29 Palms, home of Regimental Combat Team 7 and the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center and Gunner Galinas, who works out there. If you missed his battlefield study, listen to that. Yeah, PFC that goes to Contien. And goes to Quezon. It is 74 degrees under sunny skies out in 29 Palms. I'm going to be headed out to 29 Palms next week and the week after. Yeah, 25th Marines going to hear a little post-traumatic winning as they kind of go through the paces out there. Yeah, so I'll be 29 Palms for visit for a couple of days on two consecutive weeks. And then, don't you know, I'll head over to Yuma, see more Marines from 25th Marines over there. So, looking forward to that. At Camp Pendleton, it is cloudy and 60 right now. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, it is dark, cloudy and 76. Steady state there. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 73 further west in the Pacific. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where I made my home for almost a couple years, it is sunny and 100 degrees there late in the day. Beautiful. And in Afghanistan, it's warming up a little bit. It is dark, it is clear, and it is 90 degrees with the sun down. That's right, you heard me. 90 degrees with the sun down. Okay, you know what that means? What? When the sun's up? No bueno. It means hot. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 62 degrees under sunny skies, looking for a high of 71 today, 71 tomorrow, with mostly sunny skies, and on Friday, partly cloudy skies and 69. What's the difference? Cloud density. Yeah, that's my understanding from doing weather for over the course of the years. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. Big news headline is former Marine, former director of the FBI, former special prosecutor at the Department of Justice, Robert Mueller, appeared before the media this morning at the Department of Justice to announce that he was leaving the Department of Justice. Two other major bullets that have come out of that are this. One, if he were to testify, there would be no statements made beyond his report, that the report speaks for the work that they did. His thoughts, his conclusions are in the report. And then the second point was the president cannot be indicted. So they made no determination relative to obstruction of justice. So there you have it. All right. So with that said, we continue. We'll check news headlines coming up next on a Wednesday. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warriors Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
So yesterday I almost blasted my daughter into next week. So she goes to get ketchup out of the, so there's a new bottle of ketchup right next to a bottle that's like 7/8 used. Which one do you think her dumb ass grabs? This is like 5 minutes after I see like jelly thrown in the sink, but not washed down the drain. So one of her servants is supposed to go clear that out evidently. Yeah. Then she decides she's going to have a hot dog. That's what the ketchup was for. And she, like, throws the Tupperware into the sink. Exactly. So I bite the side of my lip because my eyes are starting to twitch. I told her I'm going to dismember you and let Jack and Joe eat you in the backyard. Exactly. Anyway, it's called quality parenting. The dismemberment threat. Yeah, so listen to this. The juniors are taking tests this week, national tests. So rather than put the juniors in the gym or the cafeteria and the rest of the school goes about its business, yeah, the public school system in Costa Mesa, California says, yeah, everybody else can come in at 10:45. And they're done at 1:30. Like, what a waste of time. But it'll count as a school day, so everybody will get paid, right? Lunch will be served, and so the school district will get its lunch money. Because they need that federal funding, you know. I mean, really? And this goes through next Monday. It'll be a miracle if Colleen makes it that far. Yeah, if you see Joe and Jack out wandering the neighborhood and they have big bellies, it's because Colleen got dismembered and Jack and Joe ate her. Okay, to the news. Enough of my family. Enough of my family life. All right. Again, programming note. Dennis Halick. Dennis Halick is going to join us. Well, actually, not going to join us. He already joined us. But you're going to hear another installment of On Discipline at the top of the hour. So, again, be warned. It's not a Skype interview, so it's cell phone. So you're gonna have to turn the volume a little bit up. You're gonna put your headphones on, so I'm just warning you. You've been spoiled, okay? You've been spoiled. So, anywho, that's going on. The top stories, around the world. The president, out in the Pacific Rim, which means we'll have to have Grant Newsham on shortly. So top stories in Early Bird. Number one, not in Early Bird, on Stars and Stripes. Military bases preparing for this hurricane season are still reeling from the last one. The whole Marine Corps was reeling from the last one. The amount of damage into the billions of dollars that was done to Camp Lejeune, the repairs had to be paid for. Congress did not pass supplemental funding, so that money being taken out of Hyde. So, another Marine has died following a tactical vehicle accident in Australia. Lance Corporal Hans Sandoval. Hold on, give me 1 second. Perea, 21, of Fairfax, Virginia, died yesterday from injuries sustained in an accident while training at Mount Bundy training area in Australia's Northern Territory, according to a 3 Marine Expeditionary Force statement. And so I'll get you a little bit more information, but my instinct is going to tell me that this is another 1st Marine Division unit that's had a rollover. And although two happened at Camp Pendleton, one was a MARSOC, which is not part of the 1st Division. And anyway, he was treated at the scene before being medevaced by helicopter to a hospital in Darwin, which is on the northern part of the Australian island. Another Marine received minor injuries from the accident and was released. Statement, quote, "We are saddened at the loss of Lance Corporal Sandoval Perea. He was a beloved member of our community, and our deepest sympathies go out to his family and friends," said Colonel Russ Boyce, Marine Rotational Force Darwin commanding officer. "We are extremely grateful to our Australian partners for their valiant efforts to save this young Marine's life. He was an Expeditionary Airfield Systems Technical Technician assigned to the Rotational Forces Aviation Combat Support Element. Prior to deploying to Australia, he was assigned to Marine Wing Support Detachment 24, Marine Aircraft Group 24, based in Hawaii at Kaneohe Bay. His decorations include National Defense Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Medal. The cause of the accident is under investigation." So not a member of 1MEF or 1st Marine Division out there deploying. And an aviation guy. So some kind of vehicle accident kills another Marine. This one does not sound like a tactical vehicle. So that in the news today. Third story in Stars and Stripes, Navy looking at future of carrier catapult systems belittled by Trump. The Navy has had colossal problems with their catapult systems. And the president said that, you know, this is the billion-dollar solution to the nickel problem. We've been launching planes from carriers for years, and this new system is ridiculous. So the president has ridiculed it and has put much pressure on the Navy. And, you know, the Navy, next story, Okinawa governor appeals for Marine Corps Air Station for FEMA closure in a letter to U.S. officials. So, again, Okinawa's not nearly as animated about this issue as our politicians on Okinawa. All right, top stories in Marine Corps Times today, and then I'm going to get to John Bolton here in a second, and Iran. We talked about Secretary Mattis's book coming out entitled Call Sign Chaos. It'll come out this summer. He was actually working on it. When I talked to him before, I mean, during the election, right? So 2016, 2017? Was that it? Back then? Anyway, I can't remember. He was actually working on it with Bing West. And he didn't want to come on All Marine Radio because he said he was kind of laying low because this whole issue of him and the election, blah, 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 you know, he was not looking for any more FaceTime. Anyway, I said, look, it's only voice time. He said, it's okay. But he's been working on the book for a while. So it'll come out this summer. And hopefully you'll hear him talking about discipline in the not-too-distant future here. Representative Duncan Hunter, a Marine veteran, says he's taken a photo with dead enemy. So Duncan Hunter, right, he's in his own bit of hot water, right, over money. And he is facing federal charges of mishandling. Well, it's actually their corruption charges. He made comments during a town hall event on Saturday in the San Diego area. So he's been advocating for a pardon for Eddie Gallagher, Chief Eddie Gallagher, Edward Gallagher, who's in pretrial confinement, being charged with stabbing to death a teenage Islamic State fighter who was under the care of a United States Navy corpsman, and they held his reenlistment with the body. And evidently Hunter said he's also posed for photos with a dead combatant, but said he did not text it or post it on social media. The congressman said, quote, a lot of us have done the exact same thing, referring to the fellow service members in Iraq and Afghanistan. You mean taking a picture near a dead body? Yes. All right. But the rest of the allegation is murdering, stabbing to death a incapacitated fighter that's being treated by a corpsman. Not too many put their hands up when that question gets asked. So Duncan Hunter, again, I don't know him. He's a Marine, and, you know, he's on his own thin ice. So anyway, those top stories in relative to the Marine Corps. Top five stories in Early Bird we'll get to quickly, and then you'll hear General Halleck. And then I got one other cool piece of news. Number one, Wright-Patterson assessing damage after tornado tears through Ohio. That's along the horizontal theme of tornado damage to military bases, right? Hurricane damage to military bases, and somebody better come up with some money, because these bills are not cheap. Number two, motion filed to dismiss lead prosecutor and possibly judge in the SEAL war crime trial. Defense attorneys for a high-profile court-martial of a Navy SEAL accused of a wartime, we were just talking about that, filed a motion to dismiss the lead prosecutor and possibly relieve the military judge overseeing the case Monday, citing concerns that the judge may have improperly overseen the surveillance of the SEAL's defense team by prosecutors. At issue is a tracking device evidently embedded in an email so somebody could determine who was leaking information. In addition to the dismissal of the lead prosecutor and the defense team is seeking a preliminary examination of the judge to understand, quote, whether he knowingly authorized this investigation, whether he chose to remain willfully ignorant of the facts, or whether he was misled by the lead prosecutor and NCIS service agents, according to court documents obtained by Navy Times. So, yeah, I mean, kind of bizarre, right? In a very, very high-profile case that we're going to somehow or other embed electronic devices so that we can know who's leaking. Interesting. Number three, U.S. says all North Korea's weapons of mass destruction violate U.N. resolutions. This is a Reuters story. North Korea's entire weapons of mass destruction program violates U.S. Security Council resolutions. the U.S. State Department spokeswoman said on Tuesday when asked about recent missile losses by Pyongyang. The president said he was not disturbed. So not really sure where he's going with that, but stand by. There'll be more on it. Number four, Britain's Royal Air Force tests miniature missile decoys on Typhoon jets. I guess if you're somebody who's into that, then have it. I'm not really interested. Number five, more U.S. troops from the Korean War identified as 55 boxes of remains have been returned by North Korea. So interesting. Interesting. If you're Kim Jong-un and if you're President Xi and Donald Trump he's stood up on his hind legs, he's dug his heels in, and what would you do? Would you roll over for him? Probably not, right? You would wait. You would go ahead and you would wait to see what happened in the next election. And if you didn't get what you want out of that election, guess what you'd do? You would wait for the election after that. But for the North Koreans to not develop their nuclear weapons, they give away a major card. Why would they do that? Good question. Why would they do that? Answer, only for a very good reason. Right? Why would the Iranians give it up? Answer, only for a very good reason. So, if you don't have that good reason to give it up, if you're not getting what you want, then what is the solution? Go sideways. And hopefully, you'll find somebody else, like a guy like Barack Obama, who says this is all overstated, overheated nonsense. I can deal with the Chinese. I could deal with the North Koreans. And as Grant Newsham has taught us, of course you can. All you have to do is get on your knees and take their terms, and you can have a deal with them. So it is pretty disgusting. But again, why, if you're North Korea or if you're Iran, why would you do it any other way? Answer, you probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't. All right. So that's a quick look at the news today. But the biggest story of the day is one, Bob Mueller, former Marine. Comes out and says, hey, any testimony that he's going to give in the future is simply going to be a regurgitation of what he's done in the past, and his report stands for itself. Took 2 years to put together. My opinions are in that report. Statements of fact are in that report. So if you're going to ask me questions, you might want to read that before you ask me, because you're going to get that. Now, does that mean that somebody in the House doesn't want him to testify? No, right? Because what we're looking for is the theater, and hopefully a moment, right, that captures somebody's fancy and goes viral, because that's what it's all about. What it's all about is getting your stuff to go viral. So, but I want to talk about John Bolton and Iran pretty quick. According to John Bolton, Iran almost certainly sabotaged ships off the UAE. So if it's not Iran, who is it? The Israelis trying to make us think that it's Iran? And I will tell you that where that happened, when I was in 1987, when I was over there on an aircraft carrier, providing security for the nuclear weapons and the exterior of the ship. And I can neither confirm that nuclear weapons were either on that ship or not on that ship, just so you know. But when we were over there, they did the same thing in the same spot. That's right. And we caught them. I remember it was early, it was maybe 2 a.m, and heard the radio call go out from the pilot, right, of a special helicopter that was watching an LCU, which is a big landing craft that can land vehicles and stuff. I'm not sure we still use it, but you can look it up. LCU, U.S. Navy. You should get a picture. There it is. Boom. Big metal boat. Well, it's big metal landing craft. Anyway, yeah, they have an LCU, and they're dumping mines, and the helicopter's sitting there watching them. They're putting mines in the water. So you're listening to it. Blah, blah, blah. This is blah, blah, blah. Observing Iranian LCU at LAT, right? Lawn, so it gives the location, right? Placing mines in international waters. Request permission to engage. Over. And you're like, whoa. And then the response was, stand by. So you know they picked up the bat phone, called the Pentagon, called CENTCOM, called the Pentagon, all the watch officers. Hey, somebody gets hold of SecDef. And I don't know, it might have been 5 minutes before they got an answer. And you sat there and you waited, like, what the hell, man? And pretty soon, the answer comes back. Roger, permission to engage granted. And they zap the LCU. Then, yeah, they zapped the lifeboat, too. Yeah, just so you know, somebody stood up in a menacing manner. Thought they had a weapon, zapped the lifeboat. So, yeah, U.S. Navy doing its work. But, yeah, who else is it going to be? So I don't know if we're playing good cop, bad cop here. All right. Trump advisor John Bolton accuses Iran of seeking nuclear arms and claims it almost certainly sabotaged those ships. Donald Trump's national security advisor said Wednesday, that would be today, there was no reason for Iran to back out of its nuclear deal with the world powers other than to seek atomic weapons. A year after the U.S. president unilaterally withdrew America from the accord. John Bolton, long a hawk on Iran, we all know that, also claimed, without offering evidence, that the alleged sabotage of 4 oil tankers off the coast of the United Arab Emirates came from naval mines placed almost certainly by Iran. Speaking in Abu Dhabi, the Emirati capital, Bolton told journalists that there had been previously unknown attempts to attack the Saudi oil port of Yanbu as well. Bolton did say there has been no other Iranian activity since the United States sent B-52s to the region and the carrier group Abraham Lincoln, along with increased U.S. forces. He warned the U.S. would strike back if attacked. Quote, the point is to make it very clear to Iran and its surrogates that these kinds of actions risk a strong response from the United States, Bolton threatened, without elaborating. So, anyway. So, yeah. So, again, at some point, the Iranians have to pay. And I don't know what kind of world the United States thinks it can coexist in if we don't stand up to people like Iran, people like North Korea, right? You got to do it. And so, anyway, let me just tell you what else is interesting when you talk to people. When you talk to people about Barack Obama and how weak he was as a president, they're stunned to hear that. if you say, look at our relationship with Russia. Did we have a strong relationship with Russia? Well, you know, Hillary Clinton was going to hit the reset button and, you know, no, the answer to that is no. Did we have a strong relationship, you know, with Iran? No, we gave Iran what they wanted. Right? Which was that treaty. And, you know, we left Iraq. And as we left Iraq, ISIS grew. That's another one of Barack Obama's gifts to the world. Right? Our relationship with China was a one-way relationship because they knew the turbulence that getting it right with China and putting China on notice, you know, would create. Don't want to go there. It might cost us the election. But again, the free nations of the world got to do it. And if the number one nation, the number one free nation, won't stand up and do it and organize the pushback, then, I mean, good God. Good God. So, and again, the reason we wouldn't do it is that it's in our own parochial interest not to do it, because it's going to be harder for me to get reelected if people are feeling pain in their wallets, because we're trying to bring China into the world of developed nations to deal with other nations on equal footing. Right? Right. So, anyway. Yeah. North Korea? I mean, come on. He was a guy who was afraid to act and afraid to wield the power of the United States. He wanted to make deals and be nice and understand everybody. And, you know, the United States, you know, we can't. It's stupid. The leader of the free world. Weak. So, anyway. But my point in saying that is, two final points. One is, people are, you say that and they look at you like, are you crazy? Barack Obama? All right, you want to go on a tour around the world with me? And we'll talk about it. And and again, the other thing I have to say is, look, the footnotes that go with John Bolton, pay attention to them, okay? Because the footnotes are important. Yeah, the John Bolton footnote is important, right? He was on the wrong side of Iraq, okay? He was on the wrong side of Iraq. And so, right, he needs to be supervised by an adult. Is there one in the Trump administration? Not exactly sure, which causes us a lot of concern. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. You'll hear Lieutenant General Dennis Halick, United States Marine Corps, retired, talking about discipline. So the second installment of the On Discipline series, fired up to bring that to you. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.